You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, welcome. Thank you for joining with us today as we continue walking through a sermon series called All Things. On behalf of our senior pastor, Greg Mott, on behalf of our Cypress campus pastor, Jason Swigert, and on behalf of our downtown campus pastor, Lee Shaw, my name is Malcolm Marshall. I have the privilege of serving as the campus pastor at the Siena campus, and we're delighted that you have chosen to worship with us today. In walking through this series, All Things, we've been walking through the book of Philippians, specifically Philippians chapter 4. And today we're going to continue walking through Philippians 4. As a matter of fact, we're going to be in verse 13, a very familiar, very popular verse, but a verse that's often misunderstood as well. Now you might ask, how is that verse misunderstood? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The translation we're going to walk through today is a little bit different, but how is that a verse that's often misunderstood? Well, I got a word that you're going to hear me use several times today, and that word is context. As a matter of fact, I would love right where you are on the count of three, if you would do me a favor and say that word, because it's going to make the difference in us understanding what God wants to communicate through the Apostle Paul today. So on the count of three, would you say the word context? One, two, three. One more time for the people in the back. One, two, three. Context. Context matters. It matters immensely. And as we're going to unpack this verse, you're going to see why. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Let's say there is a movie that's about to come out, and I'm trying to share with you the plot of this movie. Well, if I share the plot of this movie minus the context, I'm going to communicate to you incorrectly. Context is those circumstances or those facts that surround the plot. Let's say we're talking about a song, and I want to explain to you some of the lyrics of a song. Well, if I explain those lyrics devoid of the context, you could very well misinterpret that song. Context matters. And today we're going to talk about the value of context as we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Before I get there, though, I want to give you all some examples of things that you probably have heard before that you might not have known that they were actually taken out of context. We don't want to be misunderstood, but if we don't have context, we run the risk of that. So here's the first expression. How many of you have ever heard the expression, money is the root of all evil? You've probably heard that before. Well, I hate to rain on your parade, but money is not the root of all evil. As a matter of fact, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it's actually the love of money, or better yet, greed. If you take that statement out of context, you run the risk of thinking money's bad. Here's another one. Blood is thicker than water. You ever heard that one before? Blood is thicker than water. Typically, when that statement is made, what's being referenced is blood is kind of a reference to family, and water is kind of like friends or acquaintances. I know my mom used to say that to me all the time. If I wanted to go hang out with my friends and she wanted me to be at the house, you know, blood is thicker than water. Well, here it is, y'all. That statement doesn't actually mean what we have typically heard. Here is the statement in its fullness. The actual statement is, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. The blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. And because of a lack of context, we run the risk of misunderstanding that statement. Here's really what that means. The blood of the covenant is actually a reference to a relationship that is the opposite of the water of the womb. See, the water of the womb is a reference to family. But the blood is actually referring to that which is even more solid. And so let me say it this way. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Listen to what Jesus says. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus is in no way saying he actually wants us to hate our family, but what he is communicating is that the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. In essence, my allegiance to Christ is actually greater than my allegiance to my family. That's another statement that we've heard that is often taken out of context. In Philippians 4:13, my hope today is that you will receive what Paul had in mind when he wrote this. You know, context matters. As a matter of fact, I want to give you all a visual of what I mean by context. You can think of context as somewhat of a picture frame. So I've got a picture here today of my lovely family. Bring. So my wife, Stacy, my daughter, Madison, my daughter, Sydney. This picture frame actually has a couple of purposes. One, it serves as a protective covering so this picture doesn't get damaged. But it also helps to accentuate the picture and set it apart from the background. So in essence, this picture frame gives it a little bit of pop. Well, friends, the Word of God needs context, because when you have context, it frames the picturesque beauty of God's Word. And I would love today to show you exactly why context matters. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, very familiar, very similar, a very common verse. This is what the Apostle Paul says. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, I want to give you a statement as we're getting ready to dig into this verse. I want to give you a statement that anytime you are spending time in God's Word, this statement will help you, particularly as we're talking about the frame of context. Here's the statement. If you're taking notes, you want to jot this one down. The true meaning of a scripture is always consistent with what the original writer had in mind when he wrote it. The true meaning of a scripture is always consistent with what the original writer had in mind when he wrote it. So what that means is we don't have license to read a verse and make it fit us. It always means what the person had in mind when they wrote it. So let's get into the mind of the Apostle Paul to see if we can really understand exactly what he means by in all things through him, I got strength. All right, here we go. First thing, I need to give you some background. The Apostle Paul was notorious for being adamant about his passion for Jesus. As a matter of fact, Paul was a person familiar with incarceration. There were four books that he wrote called the prison epistles. They were written while he was in jail. Those books are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Now, when you think about Philippians being written while he was incarcerated, the idea of freedom is kind of mind-boggling. But let's take that a little bit further. There are two key themes in this book of Philippians. The first theme is joy, and specifically joy in serving Jesus and serving others. The second one is partnership in the gospel. This is applicable to where we're going today, because Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi not because some crisis was going on, as was the case with Colossians and Galatians. No, he wrote this book as a way of expressing gratitude, because the Philippian church, they supported him while he was incarcerated. So this was a sense of him saying, man, I appreciate y'all. Thank you. Now, I shared all of that background information with you because, again, it's part of the frame. It's part of the context of us understanding exactly what he had in mind when he gave us this verse. So, let's answer the question. What is the context of Philippians 4? Well, again, if you're taking notes, you'll want to jot this down. The context is contentment in the midst of hardship. Contentment in the midst of hardship. One of the other keys that I want to give y'all today as it relates to understanding context is whenever you are reading scripture, sometimes you would be served best reading the scriptures before, the scriptures after, the entire chapter within the context of the whole book. Because again, we can make a scripture pretty much mean whatever we want if we take it out of context. We don't want to do that to God's word. So we want to read a few verses before and after. Philippians chapter 4, let's look at verses 11 and 12. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This is what Paul says. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. Do you see how that helps frame verse 13? If you read verse 13 without reading verses 11 and 12 first, you run the risk of taking the verse out of context. This is all about contentment. I love what Pastor Greg said last week. One of the statements he made is that contentment is learned in crisis. That's what those verses previously said. Paul had to learn how to be content. One of the other statements he made last week is contentment is not an excuse to be complacent. The contentment that the Apostle Paul had was because he had to go through some things. And in the process, God met him right where he was. Contentment in the midst of hardship. Now, context matters because, again, when you take something out of context, you run the risk of making it say something that it really doesn't say. And some people like to put Philippians 4:13 out there as, I believe I can accomplish anything, and God is going to bless my plans. No, not necessarily. Let me tell you what Philippians 4:13 does not mean. Philippians 4:13 does not mean God will bless whatever you do. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this is why context matters. That's not what that verse means. I want to help somebody today. Let's just say you decide you want to go outside and you want to climb a tree and you start singing, I believe I can fly. And then you walk out on a branch and you jump off that branch. Guess what? You're going to have some intense fellowship with the ground. Just because you can quote Philippians 4:13 before you jump off that branch does not mean God is going to give you grace to fly like an eagle. Context matters. This is not a statement that God is going to co-sign or endorse our plans. If anything, it's an encouragement for us to position ourselves such that we will allow His plans to make their way through us. Don't do that thing I just described off the tree, too. Don't do that. That will mess you up. Now, sometimes in explaining what something is not, we can also explain what it is. And so in the way that I said Philippians 4:13 does not mean God will bless whatever you want to do, let me tell you what it does mean. Philippians 4:13 does mean God will bless whatever He has called you to do. Those are not the same thing. He will bless whatever He has called you to do. Paul says, I can do all the things that God has called me to do, to all the things that are His will for me. That is a complete different statement than I can just do what I want and put Philippians 4:13 on and just pray that God blesses it. It's not what it means. God wants us to understand His heart, and in understanding His heart, we can actually understand that all things in this verse is really a picture of what it means to trust God deeply. to trust God deeply. I'm not talking about surface level trust. I'm talking about that trust that calls you to step in places that sometimes you're scratching your head like, God, is this really where you want me? Let me give you all an example of what I mean. In Paul's case, this was strength for him to persevere as a missionary who was encountering a lot of persecution. But let me give you a real life example of what I mean. I have several nieces and nephews all over the country. And one of my nieces lives in Maryland. As a matter of fact, today is her 21st birthday. And we're going to celebrate, but it's going to be a whole lot more than cake and ice cream. A couple of years ago, right after she graduated from high school, she was on her way to college, and she got diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which is a cancer of the blood and bone marrow that fights the white blood cells. And so she stepped into a year of treatment at Johns Hopkins. She's got a passion for kids, and so she wants to be an elementary school teacher. So she's navigating through this challenge. She's continuing to go to school. She continued to play basketball. Matter of fact, her port is still in. Well, we're going to celebrate today because God has graced her in a way that we got reason to give him praise and thanks. Now, let me bring this home. It would have been very easy for us to say, we believe that you're able to do all things through him who gives you strength as a way of encouraging her. But let me throw somebody a curveball today. Sometimes God calls us to things that we would not call ourselves to. That does not make it any less his will. So while we are going to celebrate this young lady today, the truth of the matter is God gave her what she needed to walk through it in a way that it was about him, not her. I want to give you a statement that I'm going to ask you to write down because I think somebody is going to hear this, and I pray that you take this to the bank. Sometimes God is more glorified in walking alongside us through a challenge than he is in removing the challenge altogether. Sometimes it's not him removing it. Sometimes it's him bracing us as we walk through it because he knows in that we gain strength that we couldn't get any other way. Philippians 4:13 is not a promise for you. It's a promise of his that he wants to make through you. So with that in front of you now, the million-dollar question is, what is God calling you to? What is God's will for you? And I realize that's a weighty question. I get it. But I want to help you out today. Because God's will for every individual, every man, woman, boy, and girl, his will is the same. It is to know him and to make him known. Now, how that plays out from one person to the next, God in his grace can be the one to determine that. I know him and make him known by running my mouth about Jesus. My wife, she knows him and makes him known by athletics. Two totally different paths, but we got the same destination. If you don't know God's will for you, if you don't know what he's calling you to, he wants you to know him and he wants you to make him known. And then when you get to step into your own creative gifts and talents and abilities, he will use those for that purpose. God speaks through his spirit. He speaks through his word and he speaks through his people. So if you can't answer that question of God, what are you calling me to? What's your will for me? I would say start there. It's not a secret. He's not playing duck, duck, goose. He wants you to know his will, but it's to know him and to make him known. We're talking about contentment today, and I'm going to give you the biggest aha from Philippians 4:13. If you got a Bible, you may want to highlight this or underline this. It's those two words in the center of the verse, through him. Through him. I can do all things through him. Newsflash. If you could do anything you wanted to do and you didn't need God, you would have already done it. But because we do need him, he set this thing up for us to win as he defines the victory, not as we do. Through him, Paul says that when I'm able to do what God has called me to do, through him, I'm able to tap into a source that is beyond me. If you're taking notes, here's your next point. In order to do all things, it takes Christ in you. In order to do all things, it takes Christ in you so that Christ can move through you. You will never have true contentment in the midst of hardship if it's solely based on you. You will never have true contentment in the midst of hardship if it's based solely on you. It's got to be Christ through you, Christ in you. We're talking about contentment today, and I would love for you to just take this and run with it. God does not need you to muster up enough courage. He doesn't need you to muster up enough wherewithal to help yourself get through whatever it is you're trying to get through. God wants you to trust in his son so much so that when people see you, they don't see you. They see Christ in you. And that's not something that you can manufacture. That's not something you can buy at the store. This strength I'm talking about, this strength has nothing to do with white knuckling it until it gets better. It has nothing to do with your intellect or your beauty. It has nothing to do with all of your gifts and talents. It doesn't matter how much you work out. It doesn't matter if you eat right. It doesn't matter if you get enough rest. All those things have their place. This strength we're talking about, this strength, this Christ in you, this is something that comes solely from God. You can't get his strength if you don't have him. And if you don't have him, I pray today that you would receive him. Christ loves us and sent Jesus to die for us. And in dying for us, he gives us strength. I shared with you all about my niece, Kiana. This was a shirt that we actually had made as we were walking alongside her through this cancer journey. This Kiana Strong is not just about physical strength. This Kiana Strong is a strength that goes well beyond the intellect of doctors and people who know so much more than we do. It's a strength that only comes from God Almighty through his son. And if you have the son, you have the strength. As a matter of fact, that's our next point. Christ's strength in you is directly connected to Christ's truth for you. Christ's strength in you is directly connected to Christ's truth for you. John 3:30 says, he must increase, I must decrease. So when we relinquish our strength, we're in a position to pick up his strength. When we relinquish our strength, that's us decreasing. But when we step into the things of God, that's when we allow him to increase in us. You know, every time you refuse to obey God, there is a part of you that, spiritually speaking, withers and dies. We're talking about strength today. You want strength in Christ? You've got to have his truth. Where you have his truth, his strength is not far behind. But if we're going to be those people who walk out Philippians 4:13 in a way that honors the king, it's not going to look like us coming up with this master plan of what we're going to accomplish, and then we're going to say, I can do all things through Christ who gave me the strength. Dun, 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 dun. No! It's going to be, Lord, what is your plan, and how do you want to use me to execute that plan? Context matters, y'all. Context matters. Philippians 4:13 is not a promise that we will have spiritual superpowers. It's not a promise that we'll be invincible, that we are immune to the problems of the world. This verse is a promise that if we will live through him, if you don't take anything else I said today, please take that, through him, that if we'll live through him, we'll have everything we need for life and godliness so that we can endure like good soldiers. This life is not easy. But God has given us a means through which we can navigate through it in a way that he's honored and we're built up. I want to close today with a sermon in a sentence. And today, This sermon, in a sentence, is a quote from, I'll call, a modern-day C.S. Lewis. He's a theologian. I love this gentleman, just the way he thinks. Pastor from out of the New York area named Timothy Keller. This is what Dr. Keller says. If grace has really changed our hearts, we don't ultimately care if life goes the way we want it, as long as we have him. As long as we have him. Through him, that's the game changer. Philippians 4:13 is an invitation from God for us to trust his son. And I would be remiss if I did not ask you, do you know him? Personally. Not did you go to church. That's a great thing. Not did you shed tears at an altar, but do you know him? If you know him, he wants to work through you. And if you don't, I would have no greater joy than to help you know him. I'm going to offer a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do his work. And if you have never said yes to Jesus, right where you are, you can use your mobile device or whatever you're watching to grab hold of this message. Communicate with us. We don't want this just to be something we did today and then life goes on. We are expecting God to move, and if you will give us an invitation into your life, we'd love to be a part of that journey. Let me ask you to bow with me as I pray and ask the Lord to seal this in your heart and in your mind. Jesus, you are amazingly great. And what a privilege it is to know you. But God, as we're thinking about this verse, I pray today you would use this verse to pull back some of the layers of maybe where we've stepped into conversations about context that maybe we just didn't know all the details. Father, today, would you give us what we need so much so that we can apply this verse in a way that's honoring to you and is consistent with what Paul had in mind when he gave us these choice words. If there be one in our midst today who does not know you, Father, would you lovingly call them to you? Would you give them the ability to surrender and say, I'm all in. I got questions still, but I want this Jesus. I want God to move through me. I don't want to know him in a superficial way. I don't want to know how to quote scripture, but take it out of context. I want to know the one true and living God. And we know by your spirit, God, you can do that. You can do that. You can take someone who's in the lowest of the lows and elevate them to a place that you will use them. And so that's our ask. That is our ask. Use your people today, God. Use your word, use your spirit, and use your people to help everyone listening know we can do all things through him who gives us strength. I pray this in the name of Christ, and I'm asking today, God, that you would do something different. May we step into a greater appreciation for who you are and all that you will be in the days ahead. Thank you for hearing us when we pray. We do ask this in the name of Christ. All those who agree said amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.